The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It does feel like every Football Friday is going to be more F off than football, if that makes sense.
It did feel like this past week we just kind of laid the season to rest, did we not?
Yeah. The only thing missing was some sort of actual funeral dirge.
I mean, we had a press conference. We talked to Andrew Berry. That felt like an end of season press conference in many ways. And that's just, What kind of funeral did you want to have?
A funeral dirge. That's what it's called.
What does that mean?
That's like a whole procession.
You want bagpipes? What did you want?
Bagpipes are hit or miss. It depends on the piper. I've said for a while now. you got to get a hearse. There's got to be some facsimile of the Cleveland Browns, this team, the 2024 Browns, not
sure.
The organization.
Sure.
There's got to be like a jazz, brassy New Orleans flavor to it.
I like that.
A lot of despondent people dressed all in black, like that whole thing.
I used to always think that I wanted a really long, like, car line, you know, and then processional. I wanted a really long one just so the people that were stopped at the red light would be like, wow, that guy knew something. So as far as to say, like, I would tell people, preemptively, if I died tomorrow, you need to make sure it's one person to each car. I want a very long wait for people sitting there at the red light. Now, as I've gotten older, I don't want to keep people up. If anything, jam in as many people as you can. Make it a clown car. Let's get this thing going.
Yeah, I'll have to think more about this. I've always thought, I think living wakes are interesting, but I think you at least have to be on the way out to some regard. You can't just be like 39 and bored and be like, let's get together and talk about how much you guys love me and I'll drink with you.
Yeah. You ever seen the Nicolas Cage movie, The Weatherman?
I have. It's been a minute, but
Where they do the living funeral?
Yeah.
Ever since then, I was like, yeah, living funeral doesn't sound too bad. Why not?
I just feel like, I feel like if I went to my own funeral in reality, if I'm in the ether, I'm going to be super disappointed because it's going to be a lot of lies.
Well, also, nobody's going to really do it like the real thing.
Yeah.
Because it's you're faking it is all you're doing.
Yeah, well, but I mean, if in my real funeral, like, people are going to lie. I mean, he's such a great guy, and he did all this stuff. It's like, some of you hated me. Like,
there's definitely going to be people that make jokes the moment you die.
Yeah, well, no. And I like those people. Those people are my people because those are the kind of jokes that I make.
I like those people, too.
Yeah, they're part of the crowd here for us. But no, I mean, mostly, it's going to be the people that go to my funeral out of a sense of you have to because of some sort of, we're in a very fake business. And the whole time, they're just going to, maybe that's what I'll actually enjoy about it is I know they won't enjoy it because they secretly don't
I feel
really
like
care.
You'd have some sort of trick or something set up. Like you, because you do jokes, you like comedy and everything attached to it. I know it's a fun way of saying it. You do jokes. But like, I feel like you'd be the type of person that would pay somebody to show up that's like a 25-year-old female and like in a black dress and then just like gets out of the car, cries immensely, and makes sure that everyone sees her and then just like gets right back in the car and everyone's like, who was that person?
Yeah.
Who was that in that black dress?
See, but the joke on
just
that
lost
case,
it, and everyone does like that becomes the big conversation.
The
then.
Joke in that case would be on my wife, and then she would quickly remarry and find a better man. We don't want that.
She's gonna do that anyway.
Well,
Nick.
No. I want a 10-year mourning period.
You got a mourning period?
Yeah, I want a mourning period.
And I tell my wife, get over me very, very quickly. She always tells me she won't. I say it'll come easy. I promise you.
I would like though that you know I want her to marry down after me.
Well, that is nice.
Yeah.
Marrying down would be nice, but good luck with that, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, in fairness, she married down to me. Yeah. There's only so many levels beneath me there that even at 6 feet down, it's gonna be a challenge. But I have faith in her that she can pull it off. So, biggest game in Cavs history. Cavs Warriors tonight. If they
it's
win
a real
this,
where were you when moment tonight,
if,
Nick?
If they win this, are they going to the NBA Finals? 216-474-0092.
A game that 3 weeks from now, people, if it goes the wrong way for the Cavs, that people won't even remember.
Yeah. So the game does have some importance because this is the best team you've faced to this point.
If they win, we will all act like it was the big bad Warriors. And yeah, this is a proving ground game. And this is a big test that we have and all these other type of things. And if we lose, then it's like, all right, we're 9-1. We're still off to a great start. And how about that Boston team that's coming in town 2 weeks from now?
If this is a benchmark game, can we just call it that? Like,
okay.
Like this is a game where, and by the way, if you win, it doesn't mean you're going to the NBA Finals. If you lose, it doesn't mean you're going to get bounced down the first round. But like this is like I don't know that I expect the Cavs to win this game because they've kind of had everything going for them.
No expectations.
And every team at some point gets bopped in the head in the NBA.
You're giving them a Wilson wave.
I'm not wavering. I might be wavering. I will say I can't give them a Peterlin pass because I'm going to be happy if they win tonight.
Part of setting up a Peterlin pass, a perfect Peterlin pass, is the idea that you are already going into a game, and if they lose, you don't get to you're not feeling any sort of sadness about it. You're like, it just happens.
Then Peterlin pass for the Cavs tonight.
Okay,
I'm just here to enjoy this game.
Thank you. Then, all right, yeah. Yes, then we've given them the Peterlin pass. That is just, it's put out there into the ether. I'm not buying into what this Warriors team is. I like that we're playing a team of substance, at least it feels like, but I'm not buying into what they're doing. Like, Buddy Hield has just replaced Klay Thompson, and that's just, everyone's just accepting that as the truth? Buddy Hield?
Is this going to be a game that 2 weeks from now we look back? Because you mentioned if we lose, you're going to look ahead to the Celtics game. Is this going to be a game that in like 2 weeks from now you're like, wait, the Warriors are 7-6?
I think so.
Is that what?
I think, well, so Steve Kerr's doing something really interesting. There's two things he's doing, but one that really stood out to me was the idea that he's just playing 12 guys. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to see 12 guys. He took what he did in Team USA. He took that rotation where you got to balance out like a million different athletes and a million different players and give everyone time and give everyone opportunity. And he's turned it into a team that is top five offensively and top five defensively in the NBA right now because they have fresh legs and they go 12 deep and they're able to do so. It's just a bonkers philosophy. It's kind of like, you know how the Tigers decided to take the bullpen part of the game of baseball and take it to the extreme.
Yeah, rip off the Guardians, yeah.
Yeah, well, who were ripping off the Rays, yeah. But they took it to the extreme. That's kind of what Steve Kerr is doing in many sense of the way, where he's like, he's just creating his own way of doing basketball. He like, just took what he did in Team USA and is now taking it to the extreme in a regular season form that we just don't see teams do.
I actually think he's ripping off the Grizzlies. And by the way, we're also ripping off the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies, for the previous couple of years, and again, they've been that great, but have been like 10 or 11 deep in terms of the amount of guys they play 10 minutes or more per night. And I think, and so that's it. The reason why I'm saying that is the Cavs and Warriors, there is some crossover in how they're doing what they're doing to start the season, which makes this, it's not a one for one of a Spider-Man versus Spider-Man. But to some degree, there's a Spider-Man versus Spider-Man kind of thing.
Well,
going
look
on
at it, though. You see, that's why both teams are both top five in offense and defense. Like, I do think there is something to this, Nick. I do. I just don't know if it's enough for me to say the Warriors 3 months from now are going to be awesome.
Yeah. I can I just put an I don't know on that?
Or fine.
Is that not okay in sports talk?
No, we don't have to have hard Golden State Warriors thoughts and opinions. And like, I emphatically believe they're here to stay. Not with the Warriors. With the Cavs, I might make you do it, but not with the Warriors.
I feel like now that we've gotten into it, I feel like we just completely deflated the air for people who want this to be a big game.
Well, sell it to us then if you want to.
But I don't have the heart to because I'd be lying. You and I are, one, listen, we are many things. and not all of them are good. You and I are not
true
lie about sports things kind of guys. It's
right.
Just like we kind of are both call it like we see it guys, and unfortunately on this one we kind of call it like we see it.
Yeah, but this is a product of the NBA, I think, more than anything. The NBA has told us for how long that the regular season is different than the postseason, and the regular season doesn't matter as much, and we try. There's been different benchmarks across the NBA. We're like, oh, it's Christmas Day. We'll get up for the Cavs-Warriors a few years ago as if it was the greatest thing we've ever seen. And I just think it's so hard. I love overreacting to one game, and baseball in particular. It's a 162 game season. You guys have heard me at night before lose my mind over one game and one outcome. But leading up to that game is incredibly hard to lose my mind over.
All right, because you and I are in the middle ground on this game. That was harder to say than I thought it would be. So it's a fun matchup. Both stylistically, yeah. And there's the history of the Cavs-Warriors matchup.
I mean, so, I'll be glued to my TV. I imagine you will be as well.
Yes, but here's, I think, the way to put it. I do think this has some longer statute of limitations than, say, tomorrow night's Nets game. And I think what I mean by that is I could see Cavs fans still smarting or gloating about this game on Monday when we come back if you get this win, even if you lose the Nets game.
For sure. I would imagine that's because do you go all out for this game and then punt on the Nets game? Or do you try to do what they did last weekend where if they got up to a big enough start, it kind of felt like they kind of put the limits of, like, Donovan Mitchell, for instance. They kind of put him on ice and was like, 22 is where you're at tonight.
That is what I want them to do in almost every back-to-back, which is that you are, hey, we got a 25-point lead. I don't expect to have that because Steph can change a quarter or change a three-minute stretch. Well, change the
dangerous thing about a three-point team like that is that they can go down 20 and then they can erase the 20-point deficit.
But I do like that idea of, hey, this is a really big lead. We're going to let our bench – we're going to basically give our bench guys a chance to pump this thing up and see if they can keep the lead. I think that's really, really smart. I don't like the punting on another game philosophy. And I think JB, and I'm not trying to turn this into bleep JB, he's a good NBA coach.
It's kind of fun when you do, though.
Yeah, and there's a big part of me that's bleep JB. But, like, I hate punting on games. I hate it.
Yeah, but it's the setup of a back-to-back in the NBA a lot of the times. It's not what they did last weekend, obviously, but it's what a lot of teams end up doing.
But I think this should be the thing of, hey, you've got a really good situation going on here. Let's try and cheat on the margins in this game because that would give us the chance to then go all out tomorrow.
You love
game.
This record. You love this undefeated record.
Oh, I need it.
Would you say the same thing if they were like a two-loss team right now?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Well, no, it's because I do want to win this game.
No, I obviously.
Yeah.
But I the idea that you would then, you know, go into the Nets game and try to almost hedge your bet of sorts where you're like, I want both. I'm going to get greedy and take both.
Well, no, I think if and this is not just specific to this game or tomorrow night's game, like, I just never understood. I understand that some teams just don't really value a specific game, but I like, you can't have your cake and eat it too if your team plays really well in that first game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the betting world, if it teaches you anything, it's the idea that, like, you can't bet on teams on back-to-backs. Like, you just can't. But the Cavs, they kind of broke that mold last weekend.
216-474-0092. Do you consider this a benchmark game for the Cavaliers? We'll just ask you, are you going all in on this game? We got Jason Pinkston at 320 today, former Browns offensive lineman. We're going to go ahead and get his thoughts on where the Browns are, what the final eight games are about. We'll see if he wants to maybe punt on next season as well. Bill Ryder, host of Ryder Than You, NBA insider, joins us at 5:40. We'll get his thoughts on this Cavs-Warriors matchup and just a Cavs fast start in general. We also we have no name for the segment. I'm going to call it JP's Inside Information. We're going to see if we can get on the same wavelength with a huge slate of games this weekend in the NFL and in college football. But as we get started, how much stock are you putting into this game? And it is what it always was. 9-0 and all. That's more to come on 92.3 The Fan. Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive ahead of the Cavs and Warriors big matchup. Yes, it matters. No, it doesn't matter that much. Is that the right way to put it?
That's the right way to put
it. All right. We have thread the needle on that.
It matters a ton, but it also doesn't matter that much.
So we also have to get to, at 4 o'clock, Browns fans, it's okay to admit we're jealous. Let's just have some honest moments together. We can do this. We can get through this season together as one. They can't break us. They already have.
They already
did,
yeah.
They can't break us. But I think it's interesting, you know, ahead of this game, You know where I am on expectations. I know where they are. I know where we're going with this. Right now, man, I got to tell you, every time we talk expectations, it just seems a way that we can set some sort of precedence so that if they lose three straight games 3 weeks from now, that we can kick them around a little bit for not meeting expectations, even though those expectations are playoff expectations.
I feel like we get earlier and earlier with each team, with each season when it comes to these expectations.
Oh, this is 100% because of the 9-0 start.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because we can't just enjoy 9-0. No,
if they were 8-1, would we have a different storyline right now?
Yeah, depending on where the one was.
Because I think they might.
Yeah.
I think they generally might. Just one loss would have been like, all right, we can fade the Cavs into, it's a nice Friday night. We'll be able to watch it and enjoy it. But because they're 9-0.
If they started with four wins, then lost the game, and lost the fifth game, and then won the next four games, we'd be like, ah, okay, nice matchup tonight. But because the Cavs are undefeated and there's a streak on the line, and this isn't like a Cleveland thing, I think it's like a big picture thing. Well, I think this is just kind of how we do sports in America.
And they're also getting a lot more attention because it's 9-0 too. You win nine straight games, you get a lot of the national media to pay attention, and people like, when they look at the NBA.com standings, they like to see W9.
So while we're talking expectations, what's bringing up this conversation again is, one, I think if the Cavs win tonight, it's going to send people's expectations into overdrive. Agreed. Not yours and mine.
Yeah, okay. We got to differentiate between the two here for sure, because my expectations won't change in the slightest bit. I don't know. I think the Boston game is the one that does it for a lot of people.
Oh, so that'll be it'd be great if they were undefeated for that, because in no way will people overreact to a win or loss against Boston if you've got a chance at history. I think that's right, though. I mean, I think those are the two games in the first 15 games of the season that I think people are really going to put a lot of pressure on.
I mean, I think there is something working with the idea, Nick, that Golden State, still for a lot of fans, Cavs fans, they haven't adjusted themselves to what Golden State is right now. Because they're looking and they're seeing a good record, and you'll see Steph Curry on the floor, and you just think that they're a really good team when they're not supposed to be anything this year. Like, what they're doing right now is incredible, but they're not supposed to be anything close to this.
So you and I were both, I think the Eastern Conference Finals is where this has to go this year. I'm a little more lenient saying, well, okay, Eastern Conference Finals, but the context does matter. Like, who was your second round matchup? Last year, you got beat by the eventual NBA champions, and you lost Donovan halfway through that series.
Right.
And you fired Jimmy Bickerstaff, which you should have done a year before.
But Boston, I think, is the only one that we can say you got a bad draw.
No, 100%.
I don't want to do this a few months from now, and it's like, oh, but you drew Joel Embiid, and he's just really tough. It's like, I don't want to do that.
See, I think that's putting too much stock into the Sixers early.
Whoever ends up being, though, you know what I mean? Like, it could be Embiid, it could be Giannis, it could be anyone. Like, there's a lot of different...
But those are guys that can take over a series.
For sure they can, and they can win all those. But again, if we're going to put the expectations as of right now that it's Eastern Conference Finals, then we can't turn around and just make up whatever boogeyman pops in front of us and say, well, that was an impossible task to get over.
Nah, I think you're backing yourself into a corner that you don't need to. I mean, I think we can be real of...
I do back myself in the corners often, so let's go down this road.
Everyone says he's Mr. Cornerbacking guy, and we're like, don't be that guy,
guy. I just insist on it.
You just insist. He's like, I'm going to back myself into this corner.
It's more fun for me to try to figure out how to get out of it.
On CBS this fall. But it's a Chuck Lorre show, and it's awful. but all Chuck Lorre shows are awful. But, I mean, I do think, like... But you and I, we're in the same vicinity. Which is, we have to see how the next 72 games play out, and then this idea that anybody's expectations have changed because of 9-0 is kind of wild. And the Morning Boys were not in today, so Spencer and G. Bush were in for them. Spencer German, the Germanator,
and Big Circus, guy G. Bush.
Is that a nickname?
That's his new one. I love it. I crack up every time he says it. Big Circus.
Well, I like it now. And they set the bar for this Cavs team this morning.
The bar for me is the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, you got to get there. But if this kind of continues, if this run continues, even if it's with a loss thrown in tonight, when do you change those expectations, whatever your expectations for the team might be?
My expectations was always... Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Eastern Conference Finals. It doesn't change my perspective on it.
All right. I don't know, man. So that is a small taste of a segment that it sure feels like we're putting.
What are we changing? So would we change from Eastern Conference Finals to the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything they can do in the regular season that should change that.
I agree with you on that.
Like, do I think they can put themselves in a better position to shock the world and do that? Sure. It's called get the number one seed, right? But some of that is involved in what happens in the rest of the East. Some of that's involved in what do the Celtics do? Do they have a prolonged struggle? Also, how healthy are you, right?
Which was a problem for this team last year.
Well, I feel like we've had stretches the last couple of years where it's everybody, mm-hmm. Somebody's taken a turn, mostly Darius getting punched in the face. But I think the way that I heard it today, I'll be honest with you. It just feels like we're starting to ramp up. For the first time this team loses three games, we're going to lose our mind. And I just kind of want to remind everybody, the expectations aren't here to remind ourselves of the expectation every single week. They're here to say, hey, where were you in middle of October before the season started? And then let's talk again in February.
I'm trying to get it right here. So, you know how you go to a restaurant and you've been told it's got the world's best pizza, and then you go to the restaurant and because you've been told for months on end it's the world's best pizza, it's got no chance of actually being the world's best pizza.
Yes.
Because your expectation, it's just too high. Is that, are you saying we're doing that with the Cavs now, where we've kind of in nine games we've just taken them to a spot that is it's not even really achievable for them to get to?
I'm just saying it's ridiculous nine games in, no matter what your record is, to be like, so about the Eastern Conference Finals. That's so far away. We are almost half a year away from the NBA playoffs. So this idea that when they could have started 1-8, and I wouldn't have reason. Well, okay, maybe 1-8 is a little bit heavy because I think people are doing that with Milwaukee. They're trying to get Giannis out of there.
And they made a change last night in the rotation. They won by 20 or whatever it was. Lillard looked great, and they're like, oh, we're back to the race.
But to what you said, if they were 8-1. Nobody would be digging in being like, hey, remember when I did or didn't tell you? Because that's the funny thing. There are people right now saying Eastern Conference Finals is the bar who weren't saying it 4 weeks ago, who are now saying they were saying it 4 weeks ago.
My only problem is when you raise the bar to something like that, Nick, is that then if they don't hit that bar, then you do have to hold them accountable.
But what does that mean?
That means you have to see some changes.
Do you understand, that's the insanity of where we are with the expectation thing in November when they're 9-0? Because you're right. You are following the logical plane of existence. So I'm not trying to say you're wrong. You are correct. But that's the point of where I'm like, what the hell are we doing? Expectations in the NBA, especially for a team that has won a bunch the last couple of years, even in the postseason, they didn't get to the NBA Finals last year. But this team has had success. Whatever you said 4 weeks ago should be the same. But this idea of, when are we going to change? You're not. You shouldn't.
No, but there is a part that is a disappointment with this team. You can get to a spot where they do end up disappointing you.
Meaning if they lost in the first round.
You lose in the first round, yeah. Okay,
who'd they lose to?
Well, okay, so this goes back to our, it depends on what side of the bracket you're in and everything else like that. Yeah. Like, because I think we're eventually going to get to a spot. If they lose in the first round, they're going to turn around and say, oh, you lost to Joel Embiid, you lost to Giannis, you lost to one of these players that can take over a round. And I don't agree with the idea that all we can just bypass because you lose to Giannis is a thing that just happens and we can't expect anything more. Because then you're telling me we can never beat any of the premier players and we should just only beat up on teams that don't have a premier potential future Hall of Famer. And at that point, then we're never going to do anything in the East.
But that's where I think people are backing themselves into a corner. I don't know who the trouble teams are. What right now, if you said, all right, there's one team that you, there are no changes. If you lose in the first or second round, it's Boston.
It's really the only one, but you can say right now.
But if we had asked people 9 games ago, they would have said the New York Knicks because they traded for Karl Anthony Towns. Maybe not in Cleveland.
I wouldn't have said it.
But nationally, if you had said Knicks-Cavs, people would have taken the Knicks in like 6 games.
Well, I mean, you see my friends in the desert, I think they have the Cavs as like the 8th best championship odds right now. Like they haven't made any adjustments.
Yes. But I think that's – so, okay, who are the – I'm going to assume there's like 3 Eastern Conference teams ahead of the Cavs, maybe 2.
I'd have to pull up the list, but yeah. But I think that's a fair assumption.
But like, I guess my point is, my expectations were what they were 9 games ago. And the regular season is about, okay, can we see a team that by March has gone through 3 different iterations of what you do well? You're going to go through some times where you haven't played your best basketball. This is not me telling you that the regular season doesn't matter. It is this correlation between the regular season and expectations is insincere until we get a big enough picture for the NBA that you can go, well, maybe the Sixers are just stink on crap. Maybe the Bucks really are up you know what creek. But until I know what the other teams were supposed to be good, until I see even Paolo Banchero in Orlando make their way back when Paolo gets back from this injury, until I see that, you're like we're just inflating certain things because the Cavs are 9-0, and that's where I just hate the weaponization. It is the Guardians thing. You called this yesterday. It is the Guardians thing to a T of. Well, you were 800 ball club or 700 ball club in 80 games into the season, and everybody reset their expectations 3 times over, right? Which makes sense because nobody started that season with expectations.
Right, right.
This team, you did. But the idea, there's the insincerity, though, of some people saying Eastern Conference Finals when they didn't say it a month ago that does bug me just a skosh.
I mean, listen, I'm not keeping receipts on what the expectation were for any person prior to the season, so I have no idea, but I think a lot of people...
I had to.
Well, a lot of people were saying... What were people saying entering the season?
I mean,
By their own expectations, the Cavs put Eastern Conference Finals in everyone's mind, because all they've ever done is teach us this linear growth. It's a big buzzword around them, because it's the one that comes out of Kobe Altman's mouth all the time, and the linear growth would suggest if you won a playoff series last year and got to the second round, then the linear growth would be winning a second series this year, ergo ending up in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Or being much more competitive in the second round of the NBA Finals.
They, in many ways, put this on themselves. By talking the way that they've talked throughout this entire stretch of having Donovan, they've set up everyone to believe Eastern Conference Finals this year is the goal.
But linear growth isn't just win one series, then win two, win three. It is about competitiveness. And even though there were 1 or 2 games where you felt like the Cavs were competitive, they were competitive for 3 quarters instead of 4. They were competitive in the fact that they didn't get blown out from the time the ball tipped off. I do think that this is where the wiggle room is, depending on who you face in that second round. How it looks really does matter. But
I think if it's not Boston, it'll be interesting.
But I think you're only saying that because Philadelphia and New York sucks, which again, I just feel like it's a circular thing of... Well, yeah, we're saying that
I think Boston might legitimately be on a generational run to come. I put every other team. I didn't put New York in that category. I didn't put Philadelphia in that category. I didn't put Milwaukee on that category. There's only one truly special team in the NBA to me right now. That's the Celtics. That's why they fall in that category.
I feel like that was like a
Freudian slip. Yeah, not at all. No, not in the slightest bit.
No, not a Freudian slip. It was just we've talked so much about the Bucks because they were going to be the team we feared for so long. It was just like, it just slumped. It was left in
by the way,
2 years ago.
I looked it up. I went to a different site than I typically do. The Cavs, according to this site, are not even eighth like they were yesterday. They're 10th best odds to win the title.
How many teams in the East are above them?
You have Boston in front of them. You have the Knicks in front of them. You have the 76ers in front of them. And you do have the Bucks tied at the same odds at plus 2,200. So technically they're ninth. They're ninth, but the Bucks are tied at nine with the Cavs there.
So if Vegas is saying that, shouldn't that be some of the wiggle room? Again, because we're talking about something from like 6 months from now. But if Vegas is
Is Vegas does not have emotion when it comes to this stuff. Yeah, Vegas is just like, this is what we believe. This is what they're all data.
I feel like we need some sort of expectations whiteboard that we just put up there, and so we can remind ourselves when we get too high on the horse or too low. And I don't know, can you get low on the horse? I don't know.
I don't know that the horse is shrinking. You get lower.
I feel like maybe that's not fair to the horse.
Put him in sand or something.
Kind of felt bad for the lady. Kind of felt bad for the horse. But I think this is more about keeping ourselves in check, because if we don't, we're not going to enjoy this the way we should. Like, there is only so much the Cavs can do. They're doing what they can. They're winning regular season games. It's awesome. It's fun. But they're going to lose some too. There's only so much they do until we get to the playoffs. So the idea 9 games in, we're like, I mean, I've been an Eastern Conference Finals guy. Like, there's actually audio of you and me saying that. But at the same point, every time they win a game, I'm not like, I think now it's the finals. And then if they lose 3 coming
and then
up,
you bring it back
I'm
down.
I'm not going to be like, yeah, I think it's the second round. I've been saying this for a while now. I think it's the second round.
No, I think we've stayed consistent with what I believed to be the Cavs messaging the entire time. I've stayed with their expectations. But the beautiful thing about staying with their expectations, if you fall short of those, I do get to hold you accountable.
You just like slapping people around occasionally.
It's fun for me. It's my pastime.
Recommendations, do you use them? I think JP's onto something here. Next on 92.3 The Fan. Warriors, Cavs. We got a couple calls on the expectations thing, though, but I did want to get to your thoughts on whether you thought this game tonight is must-watch TV, because it's not going to be a nationally televised game.
Yeah, because you can't flex out the games at this point, so it's not nationally televised, which is fine. I'm fine with that, Nick. I think that's dumb that that's how the NBA works. You think you'd give them that opportunity, but that's neither here nor there. It's must-watch for me and you. I think it's must-watch for people that are like, hey, I league pass and watch everything. Outside of that, I don't think this is a must-watch game.
I actually think, considering how bad the rest of the NBA was, if you put this game on TNT or ESPN, and like, I think this is one of the few games early that actually does deserve it. But again, the ratings are down across the board because the product isn't good. I don't know that Cavs-Warriors means anything to the casual NBA fan anymore because LeBron's not there and half the Warriors dynasty isn't there.
Yeah, that cachet's gone.
I think it is what it is. We're going to get to recommendations in a moment here. But Drake in Cleveland joining us to talk Cavs expectations. What's up, buddy?
How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call. Good show today.
Thank you.
I think that a lot of people, I talked to a lot of people before the season starts, you know, to gauge it. We are fans. I didn't hear anybody giving the Cavs any chance other than higher than fourth in the Eastern Conference. But now that they're 9-0, I hear a lot of people, as you do, saying that if they don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, then it's a failure. And I don't agree with that.
Peter Lynn, respond.
I didn't know we reset all these expectations. I didn't know we did that. Listen, Drake, I know what you're saying. I don't even disagree with the both of you. I think a lot of people did go into this of like, could be the Knicks, could be the Bucks, could be the 76, you know? And I it's okay to adjust based off that, but I've always had high expectations for this Cavs team.
Yeah, I mean, me as well. It just seems like right now we dealing with fools, though, and not in a sense of they're not good, but in a sense of they're winning while they learn. They're learning a new system. They're playing a different way with more options. And well, I don't mean they're playing a different way, but they have more options with the offense they're running now. So I think that's going to do them good as long as they keep winning while they learn.
Drake, yeah. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Drake. I just don't think they assembled this team in the core four and they put as much money into it and as much the draft capital and everything to be like, oh, we're pesky. We're a fourth or fifth best team in the East. We have a chance. Like, no, they didn't do that. They fired the coach for a reason. They wanted to get the most they possibly could out of this core four, and with that comes raised expectations, for sure.
I think it's okay to raise your expectations, but it's if you say, if these aren't met later, everyone gets fired. That's not what you're saying. But there have to be changes. That's where it's just like, I'm not trying to be this guy because I hate, like, we can have conversations, and even with the sample size, and it's November 8th, I get that. I don't want to shoot down every conversation. It's just, okay.
No, I think that's the dangerous.
I just need to see more in generous.
I think that's the dangerous part, is that you can't be the person that says, I expect Eastern Conference Finals, and then at the end of the season, if they don't reach that, say, well, hey, handshakes and back rubs all around. That was a good job, good effort.
I have a few comments, but I'm going to hold on them. I have been inundated with recommendations here.
It got exhausting.
It was fast in between shows today. It was fast and furious. And Phelps gave me a really nice steakhouse rep.
He was so adamant. I mean, you told him you're going to Chicago. You're going to do a Blackhawks game. You're taking your brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Both my little brothers.
Little brothers. That's great. So you get to be like, you know, big brother and kind of Sherpa them around Chicago. It's going to be nice.
People have said Nick Wilson Sherpa.
That's what I hear. That's your comp.
Yeah. I don't think it's a positive thing, but that is the comp.
But he gives you this like really nice steakhouse.
Yeah, that's not the
vibe you're going for at all. But he was like, yeah, tell me how it goes when you go there. It's like, that's not what's happening.
It's also an In-N-Out. Like, if I was going to Chicago for 3 or 4 days, I would need some recommendations, right? For one night. Let's be honest. I'm going there to eat the best burger I can find, the best pizza I can find, whatever. And I'll kind of leave it up to my little brothers, whatever they want, to booze like crazy,
yeah,
to watch some hockey, booze some more, and then be really miserable driving home the next day.
Food is like secondary on that, which is not really a thing that people that love food the way that me and you do. Like, it's usually not secondary, but it is. Like, when I was in Vegas for that circuit trip, I got a message from one of our media friends. He's like, oh, there's this sushi spot. When you're in Vegas, you got to go here. And then he like gave me his number and was like, you call me the moment you're done with that and you tell me that's the best thing you've ever eaten. And I didn't have the heart to be like, man, I'm not going to go.
I love when people give me recommendations. But here's the thing. I never remember them.
No.
Unless it's a longer trip. One-day trips, there's just, I'm going to eat one or two places. Like,
We got TripAdvisor. We got all sorts of different, we have ways of finding out the foods that we want. Do we need your recommendations?
Let's be real honest here. I'm going to have a dinner. I'm going to go hockey. Then I'm going to have some drinks. I'm going to get hungry because I've been drinking.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a late night thing.
You're going to pay $37 for a hot dog. And you're going to love it.
Then I will wake up the next morning, get some sort of nice little diner in the area, and then I'm out. So really, there's one spot for a recommendation. It's dinner. And in that case, because it's a town that it's a part of town that I have no, like.
Well, it's not a great part of town.
Yeah, well, one, we're not doing it around the United Center. We're doing it in the Fulton area.
Fulton's fine. You'll be fine. They have some 24-hour diners over there, too, by the way. At like 3 in the morning, you want that.
That's
good. I'm not telling you which one to go to. Yeah. I'm just saying the option's there if you want it. They're open 24 hours.
But I'm not going off cell block D, all right? I'm going to take a walk around the neighborhood. But really, I'm just going to kind of stay in the Fulton area. And so, like, the recommendations, we were like, well, you should go north of the city, and you should go, like, no.
I just love that Phelps wanted to take you to this really nice steakhouse as if you're going to go in, like, your Blackhawks garb and, like, you and your brothers.
That is a really, that's a great point. Know thy audience. You should know. Like,
Phelps went there, I'm sure. Like, it's great anytime I've gone there in life, but that's not what you're doing.
If I were to take my wife, totally different. It's me, and people are going to assume two guys that look like me. They're actually skinny and actually athletic, or relatively skinny. But no, they have like athletic accomplishments in their past.
Okay,
but people just think it's three me's. Do three me's look like we're going to a steakhouse together? I love it.
Not while boozing up for a Blackhawks game. Not that nice of a steakhouse.
I'm going to like suit up and get a haircut and take the hat off. And I, hey, let's go to that steakhouse. And I loved it, but it was a lot because Medigan hit us with like three.
He just kept going.
And I finally had to be like, I'm going to be there for like less than 24 hours.
He's giving you like seven different pizza joints. He's telling you about thin style crust as if he grew up there. I was like, wait a second. What's going on? What happened?
The proximity is it's closer to where he grew up. So I think
probably
he feels
probably where I grew up.
But it probably feels closer to home than him than if somebody was like, hey, where should I go in Westlake? You know what I mean?
I guess so.
It's like an opportunity to be like, hey, I know that place better than this one. 216-474-0092. Do you guys take recommendations? Like, do you actually, when somebody gives you a recommendation, do you go by it? I do, but not on a one-day trip. Not even on like a 2-day trip. It's got to be like a 3-day trip or longer before I really am like, all right, now I'm going to plot out what I'm going to eat over successive days. When we come back, the right decision, it just didn't work out. That's right for a lot of different reasons, though. 92.3 The Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.